Consecration to the work. Paul said, I am debtor both to the Greeks, and to the barbarians, both to the wise, and to the unwise. God had revealed to Paul his truth, and in so doing made him a debtor to those who were in darkness, to enlighten them. The work of the apostles of Christ was to educate and train men and women to publish the good tidings of a crucified and risen Savior. Every soul converted to the gospel felt under solemn obligation to the Lord Jesus, to teach others the way of salvation. This is the spirit that should animate us. Value of the soul. Until we have clear ideas of what those will enjoy who are saved in the kingdom of glory, until we can fully comprehend the value of that life which measures with the life of God, until we can fully realize the riches of the reward which is laid up for those who overcome, we cannot know the inestimable value of the soul. The followers of Christ have one leading object in view, one great work, the salvation of their fellow men. Every other interest should be inferior to this. It should engage the most earnest effort and the deepest interest. When the spirit of holiness and perfect love abounds in the heart, working in those who profess the name of Christ, it will be like a refining fire, consuming the dross and scattering the darkness. The warfare against self is the greatest battle that was ever fought. The yielding of self, surrendering all to the will of God, and being clothed with humility, possessing that love that is pure, peaceable, and easy to be entreated, full of gentleness and good fruits, is not an easy attainment. The soul must submit to God before it can be renewed in knowledge and true holiness. The holy life and character of Christ is a faithful example. His confidence in his heavenly Father was unlimited. His obedience and submission were unreserved and perfect. He came not to be ministered unto, but to minister to others. He came not to do his own will, but the will of him that sent him. In all things he submitted himself to him that judgeth righteously. From the lips of the Savior of the world were heard these words, I can of mine own self do nothing. He became poor, and made himself of no reputation. He was hungry, and frequently thirsty, and many times weary in his labors, but he had not where to lay his head. When the cold, damp shades of night gathered about him, the earth was frequently his bed. Yet he blessed those who hated him. What a life! What an experience! Can we, the professed followers of Christ, cheerfully endure privation and suffering as did our Lord, without murmuring? Can we drink of the cup, and be baptized with the baptism? If so, we may share with him his glory in his heavenly kingdom. If not, we shall have no part with him. No one can appreciate the blessings of redemption unless he feels that he can joyfully afford to make any and every sacrifice for the love of Christ. Every sacrifice made for Christ enriches the giver, and every suffering and privation endured for his dear sake increases the overcomer's final joy in heaven. God wants minutemen. He will have men who, when important decisions are to be made, are as true as the needle to the pole, men whose special and personal interests are swallowed up, as were our Savior's, in the one great general interest for the salvation of souls. Satan plays upon the human mind wherever a chance has been left for him to do so, and he seizes upon the very time and place where he can do the most service to himself, and the greatest injury to the cause of God. A neglect to do what we might do, and what God requires us to do in his cause, is a sin which cannot be palliated with excuses of circumstances or conditions, for Jesus has made provision for all and every emergency. The enemy will seek in every way possible to obstruct the course of those who take hold of any branch of the work of God, that they may not have success. But instead of their interpreting this as an evidence that the Lord would not have them engage in labor, they should take it in altogether a different light, and see in the difficulties a vigilant foe, because the enemy is watching to block the way. And especially will this be the case with young men and women who would give themselves to the work of God. Satan will use every means to divert them from it. He attacks those who are doing errands for God, that they may be defeated. But those very ones who have had this difficulty to contend with, and have carried the matter to God, and persevered under discouragements, will say that it is the most valuable part of their experience.
The new and inexperienced workers frequently have had an idea that they could do the work themselves, and thus they have failed to seek God most earnestly for that help which they so much needed, that they might see their own weakness and insufficiency, and cling to the arm mighty in power.
These things should be no discouragement to those who would take hold of the work, for God often brings into strait places those whom He would have engaged in labor for Him, so that they may learn lessons of dependence and trust, and know the source of their strength. Should He make the path very easy before them, they would be liable to feel that they were sufficient and powerful, and able to do the work themselves, and not seek God or give Him the glory. Would that every one of you could have a view that was presented to me years ago. In my very girlhood the Lord saw fit to open before me the glories of heaven. I was in vision taken to heaven, and the angel said to me, "Look." I looked to the world as it was in dense darkness. The agony that came over me was indescribable as I saw this darkness. Again the word came, "Look ye." And again I looked intensely over the world, and I began to see jets of light like stars dotted all through this darkness, and then I saw another and another added light, and so all through this moral darkness the star-like lights were increasing.
And the angel said, "These are they that believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and are obeying the words of Christ.
These are the light of the world, and if it were not for these lights, the judgments of God would immediately fall upon the transgressors of God's law." I saw then these little jets of light growing brighter, shining forth from the east and the west, from the north and the south, and lighting the whole world. Occasionally one of these lights would begin to grow dim, and others would go out, and every time this occurred there was sadness and weeping in heaven. And some of the lights would grow brighter and brighter, and their brightness was far-reaching, and many more lights were added to it. Then there was rejoicing in heaven. I saw that the rays of light came directly from Jesus, to form these precious jets of light in the world. Angels of God are all astir, ascending to heaven, and descending to earth again with messages of mercy and warning. These heavenly messengers are moving upon minds and hearts. There are men and women everywhere whose hearts are susceptible of being inspired with the truth. If those who have a knowledge of the truth would now work in unison with the Spirit of God, we should see a great work accomplished. New fields are open in which all can test their calling by experimental effort in bringing souls out from darkness and error, and establishing them upon the platform of eternal truth. The humblest and poorest of the disciples of Jesus can be a blessing to others. They may not realize that they are doing any special good, but by their unconscious influence they may start waves of blessing which will widen and deepen, and the happy result of their words and consistent deportment they may never know until the final distribution of rewards. They do not feel or know that they are doing anything great. They are not required to weary themselves with anxieties about success. They have only to go forward, not with many words, and vainglorying, and boasting, but quietly, faithfully doing the work which God's providence has assigned them, and they will not lose their reward. We have only a little while to wage the warfare, then Christ will come, and this scene of conflict will close. Then our last efforts will have been made to work with Christ, and advance His kingdom. Some who have stood in the forefront of the battle, zealously resisting incoming evil, fall at the post of duty. The living gaze sorrowfully at the fallen heroes, but there is no time to cease work. They must close up the ranks, seize the banner from the hand palsied by death, and with renewed energy vindicate the truth and the honor of Christ. As never before, resistance must be made against sin, against the powers of darkness. The time demands energetic and determined activity on the part of those who believe present truth. If the time seems long, wait for our Deliverer to come. If, bowed by affliction and worn with toil, we feel impatient to receive an honorable release from the warfare, let us remember, and let the remembrance check every murmur, that we are left on earth to encounter storms and conflicts, to perfect Christian character, to become better acquainted with God our Father, and Christ our elder brother, and to work for the Master in winning many souls to Christ. They that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness, as the stars forever and ever.